You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 81. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we're going to be recapping that which has happened at Gen Con.
And to help us do that, since neither of us were actually at Gen Con, we brought
Sad.
In... Sad face, indeed. We have brought in the one and only Chairman Charlie.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well, Charlie.
Yeah.
Sounds like you had a busy weekend.
More rested than you, I think.
Well, I did sleep about 12 hours today. So I feel better than I did yesterday. Gen Con is, as I said frequently over the weekend, you don't go to Gen Con to sleep. So sleep was not my priority. I didn't get a lot of sleep, and I had to yell over L5R players and Naruto players and Spoils players, but I would happily do it over and over and over again. The voice will come back in a couple of days, and all will be well with the world again. So,
excellent. Well, it sounds like you had a pretty eventful time there. What were some of the highlights?
I think that this was probably the most fun Gen Con in terms of all the Star Trek stuff ever, at least since I've been going.
Really?
We didn't have the attendance that we did last year, but the attitude was amazing. We had prime real estate in the CCG hall. You guys were there last year, so anybody who was there last year, you remember how you had to go through the tunnel to get back to the hallway?
Yeah.
It was sort of like that this year, only the tunnel was a lot wider and they had gaming out there. And you come around, and it opens up into the big exhibit hall on the back. And there was the Gen Con master table right there in the front. And there were two rows of tables right along the side. There's green ones up against the wall and red ones in the middle. We were the fifth table back in the green tables. And we had the big Continentals bracket board that Johnny made right on the edge. So everybody pretty much had to walk past us to get to anything.
Nice.
So to get to Naruto or Magic, they had to walk right past where we were sitting, and we had people constantly looking and checking out our game, and it was fabulous. It was amazing. Attitudes were good. Everybody just seemed to be having a blast, and we had some interesting decks and some interesting situations in the games. Most of our tournaments ran. I think we only had two that didn't go. Most of our tournaments were full. Most of the tournaments this year were capped at 8 players, and most of them had 8 or more players. Some of them we actually put more players into because we had more people that wanted to play than we allotted, as long as we had the space for it. So it was just so much fun. It was outstanding.
Excellent.
Sorry, I didn't really answer your question.
No, that's all right. That was a nice rundown. Let's just jump right into it. How did the finals pair out for the Continental Championship?
Well, I have to say, I didn't get to see the finals, unfortunately, for the 1E or 2E Continentals I took quite ill on Saturday evening. And I have to speak very highly about the people that we have in our community. Joshua Sheets, he goes by Prowler Durden on the boards, had previously agreed to help me run events. And he was willing to take over administration of the 1E Continentals, and Jeremy Commander and Jordan Lung and your guys' own Franklin Kentner were more than willing to help him out with any rules questions. So I know Franklin won. I know that both Franklin and Jordan were playing Delta Quadrant Feds. And Jordan, I guess, made a big mistake in the final confrontation that might have had it swing the other way. But Franklin is obviously an amazing player and deserves the win there. I'm just very sad that I didn't get to see that tournament run. It was OTF, as you guys are probably aware, and I'm just very disappointed I didn't get to see it. And on the other side of the coin, the semifinals were in progress when I had to leave, and I asked James Hoskin to take over for me since he had unfortunately been eliminated earlier in the competition, and I wanted to make sure that that was okay with the four remaining players. So it was Ben Hosp, Michael Van Breemen, John Corbett, and Jared Hoffman in the top four, and they were perfectly fine to let James take over. I think they could tell I was sick in a pretty bad way, so I can't really give you a match-by-match breakdown of the finals, but I know that Ben and Jared fought in the semifinals, and those Klingons are apparently still very, very good, although I will say, watching them play throughout day two, it seemed like Ben had to work quite a bit harder to win than he did, than Neil and Ben did last year in Worlds. So obviously the Klingon deck is still winning, but I will say that I think some of its teeth have been blunted a bit with some of the weapons put into other affiliations' hands.
You didn't get to play in the 1E World Championship this year, like you did last year.
Well, the Continentals, but yeah, I was all set to play. I was all set to play, and Jeremy was kind enough to put together a deck for me, and I was going to use the Homefront Dilemmas as my dilemma pile to show them off a little bit.
Yeah,
and I was all set to play, and I took the bye in the first round, but before the first round was even halfway over, I had to tap out, and I'm really bummed that I had to tap out, because it's the first time I've ever missed a major event at the con I was running, and I didn't do it lightly. I didn't want to do it, but I guess I need to take care of my health, unfortunately. So.
did you get dehydrated or what?
Actually, I learned firsthanded how painful kidney stones are.
Because Oh man.
Apparently, I spontaneously developed one that decided to work its way out, and everybody in the hospital, as soon as the people in the hospital figured out I had a kidney stone, they were on this. They dosed me with so many painkillers, probably could have sold my blood for $30 a vial on the street. But it was the most painful experience of my life. I would not wish this on my enemy. Fortunately, it was passed quickly. It started about, I'd say, 2 hours before I finally tapped out at the con. So I was hurting for a while, but getting through it. And it started to get so bad, I was like, I need to go back to the hotel. I thought I had food poisoning because I had I've been really busy running day two and had succumbed to my hunger and went to got con food instead of going over to the mall. So I ate a con sandwich, and roughly 30 minutes after that is when the pain started. So I'm like, oh, I got food poisoning. That's just wonderful. And on the way back to the hotel, the pain just became so extreme. I asked my friend, Steve Rotz, who was one of my best friends. He'd come with me to take me to the hospital. So we went and asked for where the nearest hospital was. And I will say, if you ever find yourself ill in Indianapolis, go to the IUPUI, the Indiana University, Purdue University of Indianapolis Medical Center. They were on it. It took me about 5 minutes to get back into a room. Within 60 seconds, there was a doctor in my room. Within 2 minutes of her arrival, she had explained what it was and what it meant. The nurse, she went to write my medication. The nurse took my blood. I had to go give a urine sample. When I got back to my room, the nurse was there with my pain medication.
Oh, wow.
I had a CT scan in less than an hour and was out of there in less than three or four hours. So it was a great ER experience as far as ER experiences go. But kidney stones, I hope you never get them. And if you've had them, I hope you never get another one. They are the worst pain of my life. But I got out of the hospital. I went home, got my medication, and we stayed up until 4:30 in the morning that night playing Flux. And then I went to bed and went back to the con on Sunday. So unfortunately, I missed the most important 4 hours of the con, and I was kind of bummed out about that. But
yeah,
But it's good to hear that you're feeling better now, at least.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, I think it took a little bit out of me. I think that's part of the reason I was so tired. But they gave me some good pain medication in case it ever happens again, because unfortunately, once you get one, you're more likely to get them again.
Yeah.
But I think the most important, I think the thing that really, really, really made it horrible was that I had no idea what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just, you know, at this con, and then all of a sudden I'm in agonizing pain. Now that I can identify the sensations, I can at least deal with it better. You know, drink tons of water and take the pain meds and wait for it to pass through. That's all you can do. So, anyway, that was far more not Star Trek.
Well, no, it's
sure you guys did, but
because I had heard that you had some extra drama, but I didn't know what it was. So, but on a slightly better side, I also heard that you did a lot of demos between you and the other folks that were doing demos at the con. So a lot of new players, perhaps.
Oh, I hope so. We demoed. What we did this year is we actually scheduled in the book demo events, and we had so people could buy events, and we did this every hour, alternating 1E and 2E. We did a 2-hour one ticket, come and get a free deck and learn how to play, capped at 4 people. So the idea would be, our 1E demo guy, which was Jordan, and our 2E demo guy, which was Josh, wouldn't be overwhelmed with, you know. Last year, Darren LaCosta and a couple other guys had like 25 people just keep walking up throughout the day. And the times there was, you know, 15 people trying to learn a game at once, and it seemed a little overwhelming. So we did it differently this year, and about half of them were sold out. So 4 people had bought tickets and came to learn how to play. And the guys were great and more than willing to take on a couple extra people. Stephen Lee, another 1E player from California, was doing some demos. Jeremy Commander did some demos. I got to say, we have some of the classiest players in the world. Will Hoskin made day 2 and got knocked out early. And a couple players came over for an infinite diversity draft. 2 guys came over for an infinite diversity draft that was scheduled that afternoon, and no one else was going to play in. So Will sat and played this guy for like 2 hours to teach him the game. And they used 2 of the decks that I had on hand. So I think we picked up another player in him for sure, because we gave him cards, we gave him packs. And he sat there and played with, you know, one of the top 16 people on the continent. I don't think that would happen in another game. I don't think a Magic player would get knocked out and stick around and demo the game with somebody. And I might be wrong, but our community just, I've said it a dozen times, and it never ceases to amaze me how generous and kind the players that play this game are. And thank you to everybody who did a demo or got a demo or helped out doing a demo, whether you were compensated for that or not. I certainly appreciate it. And we gave out the promo Picards to everybody. We gave out copies of Homefront to the 1E players. We gave out OTSDs. We gave out starter decks. We gave out the sleeved demo decks that people had sent in for the Mona promotion. I took those decks and sleeved them over the printed starter decks. So every player we gave a deck to got 2 decks. They got a virtual one and then underneath it a physical one. And it just seemed like a lot of people were really jazzed about it and excited that the game was still thriving. And I'm looking forward to seeing them come on the site and registering and posting and getting some new players. So just amazingly successful demo weekend. I mentioned earlier, all of our tournaments, except 2, were ran and were successful. I mean, we ran 4 OTSD sealed tournaments for first edition. Had, you know, about 20 different people playing those. We ran 3 infinite diversity drafts, all of which were full. We had 16 players play in our team tournament. We had 8 or 9 people play in our virtual tournament. We had 27 unique people played in the 2 heats for day 1. So that's only 2 less people than last year. And I had one of them, Josh Sheets, was working for me, or he would have played. And one of my buddies didn't play. So we could have easily mapped 29, which would have matched us last year. And we had 13 people play in Continentals. We had 5 players played in the Tribbles Championship on Sunday, and Jeremy Commander won that.
Yeah, he did.
Jeremy Commander won on this funny story. Franklin poisoned Jeremy's antidote, which let him go out and win and gave Jeremy the championship.
Wow. Nice.
We had some people there who hadn't played Tribbles before. So I ran a beginner's division tournament, and then the Continentals ran separately. And the deck I was hoping to play, I gave to Sean O'Reilly to play because he wanted to play and didn't have a deck. So I let him play over in the top table, and I sat and played with the Hoskins and a couple other people and taught them how to play Tribbles. And then we did a second round, and Jeremy let me go play at the top table, and he played with the Hoskins. And I gave away like 3 boxes of Tribbles, so I gave told the Hoskins to take one and start playing over in Europe, and I gave one to Amber and Michael from Iowa
nice.
To teach their guys how to play. So hopefully Tribbles will be spreading. Next year we can get 20 people playing Tribbles.
Breed, World Championship. Tribbles, breed.
Well, that's fantastic.
I didn't get to play the full game that second round, but I went out the first round and scored like 200,000 points, which I know isn't much anymore, but I was just happy because my deck had no virtual Tribbles in it. I had built it entirely out of 2 boxes of Tribbles.
Wow.
I was just happy to see how it would do. I made a bonus deck, and it worked, kind of. I never got a bonus. I went out the first round. So
awesome.
But I saw a lot of the new cards being used. Toxin was there, and apparently Freeze needs to be used by more people because I heard a lot of griping about certain triple powers being very powerful. Clone, I'm looking at you, Franklin. And Freeze apparently is underrated right now and will probably be showing up again greatly soon. So kudos to the Tribbles designers.
Yes, we'll pass that along.
Well, it sounds like Gen Con did not suffer at all from the Worlds being scheduled for Germany. It sounds like Continentals was just as successful, and we had a good turnout.
I think that there were probably a couple people that didn't go because of the Worlds versus Continentals thing, but I think that was probably more along the lines of I can only pay for one trip, and I'm going to go to Germany.
Yeah.
Less than I don't want to go because it's not Worlds. I mean, there's really no difference in Germany. We're not handing out $10,000 in Germany versus no money here. So,
but from a purely numbers perspective, it sounds like we had a comparable year as attendance wise, or if not even better, from the demos. It sounds like so. That's good to hear. I think that was it was certainly something I was wondering if it was going to have an impact on.
I think at one point on Friday night, we had an OTSD tournament going. We had a draft in Infinite Diversity. Sorry, I just muted myself. I don't know what that recorded. At one point on Friday night, we had an OTSD draft running. We had an Infinite Diversity draft running. We had Heat 2 of Continentals running, and we had demos going on. So I think I counted like 50 people playing Trek at the same time at Gen Con, and that was just outstanding.
That sounds like a good time, man. Sorry I missed that.
I missed you guys. I understand you couldn't be there, but 2011 Worlds is going to be back at Gen Con. Everybody, get your time off now. You're missing out, because I guarantee you next year will be even better.
Awesome. There was a 1E little mini set released. You mentioned earlier, Homefront, which was a lot of reprints and a couple of backwards compatible cards. How'd that go over?
I heard extremely positive reaction from everybody at the con, and we actually had power and internet this year. So I was like live tweeting most of the results of the day and checking on the message boards and lurking in the chat room, and I haven't heard a single negative comment on Homefront yet. It seems like it's The dilemmas, by the way, they're color coded. The little collector's area, it's either green, yellow, or red, and so it's simple to hand. You basically hand a combo set of combos to the player, say, put a green one, then a yellow one, then a red one, and that's your combo, and give them a few pointers about, well, this one stops medical and this one requires medical, so they make sense together, and it's a great way to get 2E players to try 1E because that seems to be one of the big sticking points. It's also a great way to get people who kind of remember 1E but don't really to get back into it because it sort of takes all the difficulty out of building combos, at least to get you back into the game and get playing again. Then later you can buy cards and figure out your own combos. And I know the buzz on the boards and at the con was they look beautiful, which they absolutely do. We had about 25, 30 printed sets there. They all looked amazing, so kudos to our graphics team. And the buzz was this is going to make playing so much easier for people. So I think it was a home run, even though we didn't do any build-up on it. Just sort of surprise released it.
Excellent. And I'm just flipping through them now, and I'll give yet another ovation to the art selection on these. It's another good selection of alternate images, I think, just really pop really well. Something that 1E, I think, started lagging on towards the end.
I think the expansion icon is just beautiful, too.
Absolutely. Just gorgeous.
I did hear one criticism, and that was that it's impossible to find an AI for Tower of Commerce better than the Negus asleep in the chair. But given that that is the pinnacle of the best image you could ever have for that, the next one that was chosen is as good as it can be. So if that's our only criticism, I think we knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, primarily the dilemmas, I think, that just great image selection for all these varieties of new cards to or old cards to bring back and make new again.
Yeah, I definitely don't recommend using them in a sealed deck format, however, because God is just kind of ridiculous in an OTSD tournament. So we did one where we gave them all copies of some of the Homefront cards, and it doesn't balance at all.
I could see that being problematic.
Yeah, don't play Romulan. Well, is there any word on what's coming next on the TUI side?
Yes, we showed off two cards at Continentals. It was the same two that we showed off at Europeans, but we didn't give anything special to the Australians. So I didn't want to do like two for each. I just thought, and I hadn't really heard anything from Europeans. I hadn't seen people posting on the boards with the spoilers, so On Friday, I think I posted one of them on the forums. You can go find that one. But if you guys would like, I will spoil the other one for you on the show.
Sure.
That would be great.
I wish I'd thought of that because I would have had it ready. But
While Charlie's looking for that, I wanted to announce that this Saturday we're having in San Diego our first OTF 1E tournament. We've got some folks visiting from Arizona. We've got a couple of locals who are really itching to play in the format. And I don't know if Franklin's coming back, but I'm hoping he is because I want to see what he played. But that should be this Saturday at our normal location and time.
I'm jealous. I'm going to go look for a flight and see if I can make it out there since my kidneys betrayed me and prevented me from playing.
That sounds like a 1E dilemma.
Oh, my kidneys betrayed me.
I was all super psyched. Like, Jeremy built me this great mirror quadrant deck I was going to try, and I'd been studying up on the rules and had learned to play 1E. I was trying to build my own deck, but I just didn't have enough cards from other sets to do it. And so Jeremy built me a deck, and I was all jazzed to play. Dave Bowling showed up out of the blue. He from the 3-time world champion Dave Bowling came in the middle of the day on Saturday and said, I'm here to play 1E. And he decided that morning at 5 a.m. to come to Gen Con and play 1E. So I was all excited just to get into play with people, and I was just really bummed I couldn't. But good luck on your tournament.
Thank you, sir. And, of course, tribbles afterward.
So 1E spoiler, or sorry, 2E spoilers. We showed off two cards. One is a new Tarok Nor Dukat. I think he's on the Continental Championships thread in the forums. You can go track him down. Did you guys see that?
Yes, although there's a lot of speculation on what his download is.
Well, his download is excellent. I will tell you that. He's an excellent guard. The other one we showed off is a new Travis Mayweather, the navigator of the NX-01. He is a Starfleet card. It's a new Travis Mayweather. He is Starfleet. He is human. He costs 2. His subtitle is Damaged Navigator. He has a staffing icon and a past icon. He has 3 skills: anthropology, astrometrics, and navigation. He has the following game text: while this personnel is at a Region Delphic Expanse mission, if there is a Starfleet ship at this mission with unused range greater than 5, this personnel is attributes +1 and gains geology, honor, and security.
Wow, this guy's like a mashup between the two Travises we already have. Anthro and security on the AU guy, and the Astro Geo Nav on the 3 cost, and he's right in the middle of the cost too. Interesting. Are his attributes the same as the Space Boomer 5-6-5?
He is a 4-6-5.
Okay, but he gets a bonus if he's at a ship with maneuvers left over.
Yes, if he is at a Region Delphic Expanse mission with a ship that has range greater than 5, unused range greater than 5, he would become a 5-7-6 with 6 skills for 2 costs.
Well, that one Delphic Expanse mission has been really popular. That's been at the top of the most used missions list for a while now. So that could turn out to be pretty valuable, especially trying to get that first mission off, that first space mission, which is so crucial for Starfleet.
I will say, I will say there has been a number of pieces of information released in various podcasts to piece together a good chunk of this expansion now that Travis has been spoiled. So I need to give you his lore. I think I left out his lore. His lore is thrusters are down. I don't think we're going anywhere. So.
You have the picture there?
Yes, he seems to be sweaty and a little bloody.
Like damaged.
And it's a dark image. It's a close-up shot of him looking very intent. His forehead is rippled with sweat, and he has blood coming down his nose from a, looks to be a cut on his nose. So it's an intense image.
Sounds like urgency.
It's similar with no fire.
Okay.
If you took that image and sort of zoomed in on Travis's face and there was no fire behind him, it would be close to correct. So I can tell you the name of the expansion. I spoiled that at Gen Con. Expansion 22 is called Peak Performance.
Interesting.
And if you're patient, very soon you will know more.
War games ahoy.
All right. I think with that, we will close out the show then. We have reached the limit of our intelligence.
Or certainly we've supplied enough to wrap up for this particular episode. Thanks again to Chairman Charlie for stopping by and filling our gaps this year in the Gen Con intelligence. And, of course, we will give our shout-out to Warp 11 for their theme song and to Thomas Kimura for his production assistance. On behalf of all of us at Section 31, I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And we will remind you to expand your power.
And I will draw 81, a nice square number, to end.